help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com. Murky Chronicles 18, day 22 of 31, Dracula, Vampires, and
Santa Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro,
movie review. Also, we have a great radio story titled The Ghost Gray Bat. I'm thankful of the Butcher Debashi that didn't forget to hit the recorder button.
Hey, I'm gorgeous. I'm glad you're back in the game, brother.
You're breaking up. All's I got, it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous Kenny Roberts.
There you go. Music to my ears. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, man? Is your head in the game? Are you ready to go?
I don't know. It took like 33 takes for it to get it off right, and then I forgot to hit the freaking record button, but the red light's on, and the glitz and glamour, and all the doohickeys are running.
Well, here we go, man. It's a good day. It's the day of the vampire and Dracula, man.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Yes. I just want to say thanks to all the emails to murkychronicles@gmail.com for giving us our suggestions and for all of our bonus shows and, you know, this one. And I know you're really into Dracula and vampires and all that. And
yep, I'm digging it.
Hey, before we hop into the what we, you know, got about our show today, did you get a chance to see the new Halloween movie?
No, I have not. What's your thought?
Halloween Kills, you know, I went ahead and just got it on Peacock because streamed it because my son ain't into horror movies and I didn't want to go by myself, but I actually liked it. I don't want to give any spoilers. It was kind of Jason Voorhees-esque, you know, I thought, but it started from the last movie when Jamie Lee Curtis's character, when he trapped Michael Myers in the house, you know, and all the windows locked like a cage and all that. And it started from there. And if you like gore, this was good. The ending, I didn't know what to think about the ending. I'm still up in the air on it, but definitely there'll be another one. But that being said, it was good. It was good for a modern horror movie. So I recommend it.
Awesome. I'll have to check it out.
But I guess we'll get on back on the track. I'm not all here today. I took my went to the gym with my gimp heel self, and now I'm pumped with all the vitamins and Matrix powder, which, you know, I'm just giving them a plug, even though they're not paying us, but I'll stop babbling. So,
all right.
Where are we going to start? I guess throw some facts or movies. Where, I don't know. You steer. You take the driving wheel.
Well, right. Well, you know what I've got is like 13 movies from the Rotten Tomatoes Scare Central. So I've got 30 essential vampire movies to watch.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with number 30, and it is Blackula.
Yes.
Yep. So there's one there.
That's a black vampire, right?
Yep. That one's from the 70s.
I remember.
1972. And I remember that one as well. So that one worth checking out. We made the top 30.
Is it Sugar Hill of Vampires?
Well, it's not. That didn't make the top 30.
No, I mean the Sugar Hill of Vampires. Blackula?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's zombies. Yeah, I forgot. A forgettable movie. 30 Days of Night. And that one came out in 2007. That one's number 29. We don't have to chat too much about them unless we've seen it, so we'll just keep moving on.
Okay.
I got Daybreakers, 2009. That one's number 28. Number 27 is The Hunger. It was put out in 1983. I don't remember seeing that one. Do you see The Hunger?
Only movie I recognize was Blackula.
Yep, so we'll move on. Number 27, we got The Shadow. Okay, let me read it. My eyes are Shadow of the Vampire, and that was put out in 2000. That one sound familiar to you? This one is your local area. It had a big boom on this one.
Twilight?
This one was Twilight, yep.
I'm proud to say I haven't seen one of those movies.
I watched it with my daughter. I would have to say I don't know that I made it through the whole movie. I fell asleep many a times. Just knowing it was filmed up in Forks was the coolest part of
that's
it.
That's cool. That to me, that was like, and I could be wrong. I don't know. To me, a lot of these titty boppers liked Twilight. So I was like, what? So I kind of considered it a Brokeback Mountain of vampire movies.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But they sure made a run at it with like three or four movies.
Oh, yeah. So, made a lot of money. Put Forks on the map.
Yep. And then the next one is The Fearless Vampire Killers. That was put out in 1967. So that's an old one. Did not see that one. And let's see. Next is Martin. You heard of that one?
Martin?
That was Martin. 1978. Near Dark, 1987. Ganja and Hess, 1973.
Nope.
I mean, I'm just rattling down, and it's like, man, I've not heard of any of these movies. I have a different list of myself, you know, my top three or four, but Chronos, 1993, Black Sunday, 1960, Vampire Hunter, 2000. You know, I think this list is pretty lame myself.
I've heard of Vampire Hunter, but I never seen it.
Let's see.
I watched Buffy.
So we're getting one a little more up to date. You might have seen this one with Wesley Snipes, Blade.
Okay.
1998.
I dug that one.
And then this one's one of my top three or four favorites. It's called Fright Night from 1985.
Oh.
And it was great. It had Roddy McDowell in it. And the gal from, she was on Married with Children.
Her,
the neighbor lady.
Oh, no, the neighbor lady. Gotcha. With the short hair.
Yeah. And she was a little cutie back in the day way before Fairy the Show. That's one of my favorites. We're checking out the original Fright Night, 1985.
Please tell me Lost Boys are on the list.
Yeah, that's like my number one.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
So that one's coming up. Underworld, 2003.
That was good.
Girls Walk Home Alone at Night. That one's 2014. What is it? From Dusk Till Dawn, 1996.
I like that one.
See Thirst, 2009. Let's see. Sorry, man. I'm trying to get my notes here. So let's see. This one is Bram Stoker's Dracula. 1992.
Okay.
Then we got Only Lovers Left Alive. That was 2013. That one sounds lame. The Horror of Dracula, 1958. Let's see. Nosferatu? Is that how you say it? No, I have no idea. Nosferatu. This is a 1979 movie. And there was we'll talk about it later, but that's where the vampire looks, his head's shaved. And kind of a really an ugly word. It's not the, you know, the good looking Dracula or
right.
vampire around. So be more of a monster. And then Dracula with Bela Lugosi, 1931. I'm getting down to the last little tidbit
about Bela Lugosi. You know, he was the very first Dracula from October 20th, 1882 to August 16th, 1956. He was a Hungarian actor. Lugosi first played Count Dracula on the stage, but most famously later did the 1931 film adaptation. And Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein for Universal Pictures.
Yes. Abbott and Costello. Those are great.
Yeah, so that I just wanted to throw that in because I dug Billy.
No, that's great. Another one's called Vampire with a Y at the end, P-Y-R.
Uh-huh.
That was 1932. And so we're getting down to the last, like, top 10 here. Because they're not really numbered, so I lost count. So, Interview with a Vampire with Tom Cruise.
I actually like that movie. I'm not too hot on Tom Cruise, but that was actually a good movie.
Yeah. And here's my favorite, The Lost Boys, 1987.
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland, good movie. And with the Coreys were in that one, too.
Yep. Kiefer played a good vampire, man.
Yeah, and boy, he did, man. It's too bad they didn't do a spinoff. They could have kept that going a little bit.
Didn't they do one, though, later? Like, it was a
team? Not with him.
No, but they did do a spinoff of The Lost Boys. Then I think they did Lost Girls, didn't they?
Did they? Maybe.
I think. I don't think it went anywhere, but I just vaguely remembered.
Yeah. So, the last three, this one's called What Do We Do in the Shadows? This was put out in 2014. It was a comedy. So I don't know how that would get in the top three. And then that Nosferatu, 1922.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they would get these at the top. But then the last, their number one on their list is Let the Right One In.
Never heard of it. Now, how about Till Dusk, Till Dawn?
Wasn't on the list.
That was a vampire movie, right? Or is that more zombies?
It might be more. I think that's zombies.
Okay, maybe. That was kind of campy, but I liked it.
But yeah, man. I mean, who was your all-time favorite? I mean, I know you got facts, some vampire facts, but who was your all-time favorite? Your vampire or Dracula. Who played Dracula?
I would have to say, actual Dracula, probably the original Bela Lugosi.
So you may like him, but check this guy out.
Uh-huh.
Christopher Lee, man. Christopher Lee played, to me, the scariest. Once you see his face, you'll know this guy. He played, I believe he played 10 Dracula movies.
Okay.
Seven with the same director through the 60s into the late 70s, early 80s.
So
he's dead and gone. No, late 50s.
So he might have been the person that came after Bela Lugosi because he was Dracula until 1956.
Yeah. Did you check out Christopher Lee? You see that face, you'll know it. He's got red eyes, man. It's scary, dude.
Okay. No, I will check him out. My computer's froze right now, but yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yep, you'll know that face. Yep. Now, he was one of the ones that was always on late night TV back when we were young.
Gotcha.
Besides,
now,
Lugosi. Go ahead.
Now, would Elvira consider herself a lady vampire?
Well, does she have the teeth?
I don't know, but she has the teats.
Yeah, that's right. She's got her own special fangs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised to find out she was a redhead.
No, that's crazy. Yep. I know, man. We should have had an episode just for her.
You know, I've tried on my other podcasts, and she would be perfect for this one. I might have to try to hit up. I try to hit up my girl Michelle Morris, you know, in the past to try to get Elvira, but you know, I mean, I could talk more about it off air, but yeah, I even try to contact her myself, no response. But Mistress of Darkness, if you're listening, hook this brother, these brothers up.
Yep.
Well, have you ever wondered if vampires existed or not?
Well, you know what? I mean, I've watched some shows that really claim that they are, that people get some kind of disease and they crave blood. I don't know. You tell me. What have you found in your world of facts?
Well, I was doing some homework and I found out they've been around for thousands of years. But, you know, they might not be considered like the Bela Lugosi or the guy you mentioned. Those, you know, they might not look like typical vampires, but throughout history, there have been real vampires with very interesting stories. You know, and people want to know what are vampires. And, you know, vampires, according to tradition, it is a creature whose main course of food is blood or other living beings. In European culture, the most common vampire prototype is that of a person who, after dying, has become an active corpse that sucked the blood of its victims. On where the term vampire comes from, there are different theories about it. Some linguists indicate some of them from Hungarian word is vamp, they call it vampire, while other point out that its origin is from Siberia. Their word means bamp e up. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. To date, most famous vampire in the world is Count Dracula. It did not exist as such, you know, and vampires didn't, you know, turn out to be like, you know, Count Vampire we see on TV, but they are inspired by real people. The evil Vlad Tepes, better known as the Impaler, he was a Romanian prince in the second half of the 15th century who carried out mass murders, and it estimated he had more than 60,000 people executed. He earned the nickname the Impaler for his habits of staking his enemies. So I have three of the most famous royal vampires in history. So the first one is, I'll probably butcher this name. It's spelled J-U-R-E, Grando, so Gore Grando.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Kringa in 1979, was documented as one of the first real vampires in faith history. He died in 1656 from illness. And legend has it that he returned from the grave at night as a vampire. He caused terror in the town until he was beheaded post-mortem in 1672. For 16 years after his death, Grando rose from his grave every night. Giorgio, the village priest who had buried him, discovered that it was his custom to knock on doors of the houses, and those which he did, some persons who lived in them died the following day. So if he knocked on your door, you know, you're going to die, you know, a few days after that. Apparently his widow also appeared in his room, who said that her husband's corpse smiled at him and then mercifully sexually assaulted him. Finally, several neighbors went to the cemetery and they cut off his head. And the other one is Peter Blazorczyk. was a Siberian peasant who died in 1725. It is believed that after his death, he became a vampire and is credited with the murders of 9 neighbors. It is one of the most best documented cases of history of vampires. In the days after his death, several people in the area died suddenly. All the victims claimed on their deathbed that Peter Bolshevik had strangled them while they were asleep. The neighbors decided to dig up his body to examine it for any signs of vampirism, such as the absence of decomposition or growth of his nails. What they found was terrifying because the body had not decomposed and there was blood in his mouth. So they decided to burn the corpse. So, yeah.
What?
And then I have one more, Elizabeth Bathory. Elizabeth Bathory, born in Hungary on August 7, 1560, was a very powerful aristocrat who has gone down in history as the woman who has murdered the most people in history. 800 deaths are attributed to her. For this reason, it has received the name of Bloody Countess. She was born into one of the richest families in Transylvania. At the age of 15, she married Count Franz Nadezdy. She was widowed at 44, and that's when she started committing the terrible crimes, according to this subsequent investigation. Dozens of tortured youths were found in the castle in 1612. The trial against her began. Juan Urgelvery, the butler, was one of the witnesses and declared that Elizabeth had murdered in his presence 37 girls and young people between 11 and 26 years old. The law of the time prevented Isabel being a name because of that, from being prosecuted. The sentence was limited to lock her in her castle. Once inside, the doors and windows were sealed, and the only small hole was left in the bedroom to pass food. She died on August 21, 1614, after spending 4 years locked up. There are the most important real vampires that have been known throughout history, and they have very little to do with the image of vampires that we have from books and movies. So that's 3 of the most prominent vampires that's documented. So I'm sure there's probably more.
Wow.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah, there's a lot of history behind them. There's no doubt, man.
Yeah. So hopefully I didn't put everyone to sleep, but if you're into vampires and they can understand what I'm talking about, and sorry for butchering the vampire's name. So it's Halloween coming up, and I hope I don't get bit in the neck.
Well, and there's one more vampire / Dracula that's haunted me all my life, man.
Which one?
And it's the one from Nightmare Theater.
Oh, yeah. Darn it. I wish you should have reminded me. Could have brought up that sound effect. Well, there's one vampire I really like, and he was kind of lovable.
What's that?
Grandpa from the Munsters.
Oh, man, he was the best, wasn't he?
You know, Rob Zombie, did you see the cast of the new Munsters from Rob Zombie?
No.
He put out the picture, and the actor's playing him. Kind of cool.
I didn't.
Yep. He's coming out with the money. Yep, he bought the rights. I guess he's doing a remake. So, yep. The only difference is they don't look exactly like, you know, the ones on TV like Herman and stuff. I mean, there's a great resemblance. So I don't know if it's going to be kind of gory, or is it going to be more of a comedy. But it's going to be interesting because Rob Zombie usually does it right. Tell me, shut the hell up. I'm just jabbering today.
Well, man, you're all pumped up on that protein powder or whatever you got going on.
Well, let me tell you a little rant. So I usually take double of my pre-workouts, and I went and got this. And we're not getting paid for this advertisement, but I'm going to plug them anyway. C4 Ultimate. I took two scoops, and I never did crack or anything like that, but I kind of think if crack was anything like C4 Ultimate, man, you're in trouble, because I didn't feel that good using it. I mean, it got me pumped, but it was so pumped, it lasts all day through the night, and I took it in the morning. So I only took one scoop today, and it still got me a buzz.
That's awesome.
Oh, where we at, Kenny? Gorgeous Kenny Roberts, where we at now?
We've kind of touched on all the Dracula vampire stuff, you know. I was kind of pushing Christopher Lee, so, you know, you got to check out some of his movies, you know. He's got
definitely
Dracula, the Prince of Darkness, 1966. That's a good one.
Were you done with the list?
The list is done.
Oh, I was scared. I thought you cut you off. I cut you off. Okay, go ahead.
No, wouldn't be the first time you cut me off.
I know.
But no, yeah, check out Christopher Lee. He's like one of the scariest. I know his movies would be a bit dated, but it's worth checking out if you like nostalgia. There's some old frightening moments in there worth checking out.
Nice, nice.
So what you got, man?
Well, you know, that's about all the vampire facts I got, but I guess we'll talk about the movie. Movie of the week. And I guess I'll give a big quick background of El Santo. Santo was a famous Mexican wrestler, lucha libre. And, you know, I love the lucha libre culture because it's almost like a religion. It's a way of life in Mexico. It's like a religion. And only four of 52 Santo films were ever dubbed into English, the other 48 being only available in Spanish. The English dubbed Mexican films from the ones in Spanish that time period were imported by the United States through the efforts of K. Gordon Murray, who changed the name of Santo to Samson for some of his releases. And most of Murray's import Mexican films went directly to late night American TV. Santo's most financially successful film was The Mummies of Guanajuato from the 1970s, which co-starred Blue Demon and Mil Máscaras. So what did you think about Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro?
Is that you saying that? There's no way that it is.
That's me, man. I've been practicing. I swear. That is me.
Santo Juviese, Mujeres
Vampiro. Well, let me tell you a secret, though. This is me.
Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro.
I wanted to be sure I got the Spanish right, because I love, like, you know, I could roll my R's and say, you know, te quiero mi amor. So what I did yesterday, I kept on practicing, and I turned it into a soundbite so I wouldn't mess up saying this.
Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro.
That is me, but I just cleaned it up, and I put it on as a soundbite.
Whatever, man.
So okay. No, that is, I swear to God, that's me, man. That is me.
All right.
Took me about 88 takes, but, you know, that was translated later to Spanish, you know, I mean, from Spanish to English. And when it went to, you know, English, dubbed in English, he changed it to Samson to the Vampire Woman. But yeah, this is me, brother.
Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro.
That's muy caliente.
Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro.
That's me, baby. I guess I did it too perfect. But, you know, there were no ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, and the director was Alfonso Corona Blake, 1962 film of
Santo Juviese, Mujeres Vampiro.
Since you already exposed my soundbite, which is me, by the way. So what I did the first part, and then I recorded the second part, and then I edited it together, so it'd be all one.
Santo Juviese, nice. Mujeres Vampiro.
Okay. So, Oh, so, you know, it started off, man. It was pretty slow. Pretty slow. It reminded me of, you've already talked about it, the Munsters. It had that black and white setting. It got good. I'm not going to lie. I kind of dozed off a couple times watching it. It was a little slow. The fight scenes were good. The ending wasn't bad. You know, I'm not going to say I liked it better than Sugar Hill.
Wow. Okay.
You know, well, just because I think I'm going to give it, because it had a little wrestling theme to it, which I dug that.
Yes. You know,
I feel the same way about the Lucha Libre culture.
Yeah. Okay. So do you give it a this or you give it a that?
The vampire ladies were really hot.
Yes.
After they drank the blood.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, I'm going to give it a scream. It's worth checking out if you're a wrestling fan and a vampire fan. Check it out. What was funny about it is watching it and the fans are chanting.
Yeah.
Was getting, but it wasn't saying Samson. They
Samson
were saying,
and they were oh, saying Santos. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I was cracking. That was one thing he missed out when he did the English dub over. So,
I just don't understand. Yeah. I just don't understand why they did that though. Why didn't they just keep it Santos?
I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, it's worth. Yeah, it was worthy. I mean, the end could have been a little more climactic. He drove a pretty cool car, and he actually talked on a camera phone, like Batman and Robin back in the day.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know. So that was cool. He had a cool old Austin Healey who was driving around. It wasn't bad, man. It had its highlights. There's no doubt.
Well, you're gonna be shocked about my review then. We did What's a that? Swerve. Okay. Well, a quick synopsis plot. So in case. I do recommend everyone to see it, but this was in the forest of white pine, a cove of vampire women living in the castle, and was awoken after a sleep over 200 years. The first one to awake is Tondra, the vampire priestess, who must prepare to awaken Thorina, the queen of the vampire women. 200 years prior, a woman chose to be Torina's successor, escaped the clutches of a vampire woman and their henchmen. The woman's beauty has now been passed down to a current relative named Diane on the cusp of turning 21. Per a prophecy, Diane is to take Torina's place as queen of the vampire women as Torina descends into the depths of darkness to be with her husband, Lucifer, and to a mass wrestling superstar hero, Santos, comes to save the day. Okay.
Boy, he did. I don't want to spoil it. Oh, sorry.
Well, no, that's fine. Everyone knows he saved the day. The thing is, out of all the Santos movies I saw, this is probably my least favorite. Only because he was, to me, in his other movies, like Santos and Blue Demon versus, like, the werewolf and stuff, like, they were in a lot, you know, they were in majority of the movie. To me, he wasn't in that much, except I love the wrestling scenes. But what really bugged me the most at the end, okay, do you remember they were in the, I don't know what you call it, the covent or whatever. They were in their basement. You know,
where they're laying on the table.
Yeah, the table or the coffins, the right?
Yep.
Okay, why in the hell would you put your coffins or where you sleep, you know, they're in a dungeon, you know, surrounded by concrete and have a window right there so a sun could shine into it and kill you?
Yeah, I thought that was...
You thought so too?
You're exposing the ending, man. Yes.
Well, if you haven't seen it since 1962, oh well. But yeah, now.
But you have to admit, when he went up the stairs and did the dive off the 12th step. That was pretty awesome. I saw the high flying action back in the day.
Yes. And even that, the wrestling was pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
they had big wrestling scenes. But if you, I think if you like this one, you'll like the other ones. But I think the other ones, if I remember right, I bought them on Amazon for like a couple bucks a piece or eBay or something. But
oh, that's cool.
But they might be in subtitles. I can't remember. I have to look for them. But yeah, yeah. So, well, I was going to give it this. But it was actually pretty good. I was kind of upset because I compared him to his other ones and he wasn't in as much. But that what really bugged me was that the light coming through the window. I was like, I don't know. But you know what?
Oh, go ahead.
I'll give it a scream too. It is what it is. The makeup. What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm good. I'm done.
We need to find a third sound that's like the middle of the road, like a.
Okay. Oh, you know.
That way, we love it, we hate it, or it's like right in the middle.
You know,
can't decide either way. Right on that fence. Right on the fence noise.
Yeah, and I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. They didn't have no ratings on it, but we either got to come up with our own rating system or new sound effects because starting November, we're gonna. I don't know how we're going to, we haven't decided how we're going to do it. Maybe we'll pick a movie every other week, alternate or something or whatever. And then we're going to review the movies or I don't know. We got some kind of movie review we want to do and still in the works, but we'll have it worked out by not the show after next.
That is true.
Well,
so,
that's all I got, really.
Are we at that time of the program where we're going to do some shout-outs? We're getting there at the end?
I think you should do it because Stitching is bitching.
Oh, hold on. My movie of the week.
Oh, yes. What is your movie of the week?
Movie of the week. You got to watch it.
I will.
Let me get the details on it so you can get real excited about it.
I might even watch it tonight.
It is called Hell Night.
Oh, I just watched that.
Did you?
I'm just lying. I'm playing.
1981.
Okay.
And it's got Linda Blair in it from The Exorcist.
Oh, nice. So is Hell Night, is that supposed to be like the day before Halloween?
No, it's another one of those spend the night movies in a building type thing.
Isn't Hell Night, I know like in Michigan and Chicago, ain't that where they, I believe they call it Hell Night. It's like the Halloween Eve and people start setting buildings on fire.
I think so. So yeah, this one's about a fraternity sorority pledges. They got to spend the night in a mansion haunted.
Nice.
By victims of a family massacre with Linda Blair, Vincent Van Patten, and Peter Barton.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's going to be cool. Okay. Definitely. I'm going to watch it.
And it's on Amazon Prime Video for free.
Oh, all right, brother.
So, excuses, brother.
Oh, no. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it this weekend. It's going to be rainy here in the Northwest. We finally got some rain coming in and a storm coming in. I'm kind of digging it.
Oh yeah, we're getting hit hard with a storm as well, Wendy. I think that's why my phone was kind of acting up a little bit. It was raining sideways here about 15 minutes ago.
I thought the phones were being cursed like it did yesterday when the beings to be cut you off.
Right.
All right,
man. So yeah, so Hell Night. That's it. 1981.
Got it.
Horror flash movie. So, all right, man. So shout outs. I'll go first. We'll shout out to Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels. What's up, Vince?
Check
him out if you're in town.
What up,
and,
Vince?
If you need your cat or dog, daycare or overnight stays, he does that there. And let's see, Micah over at Savage Reviews. What's up, Micah? Shout out to him. And then, what? Last but not least, Sweet Low Upholstery. What's up to Sweet Low Upholstery? They're stitching is bitching.
Stitching is bitching. All right, is it my turn?
Your turn. Let's go.
A shout out to Sweet and Low Upholstery. Got the best tagline in the world, stitching is bitching. And I want to give a shout out to Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo of
Tales from the Abyss, the most unfiltered, unselfish, uncut, unapologetic, unpretentious, the greatest celebration of freedom of speech in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
And with a great, awesome podcast, thanks for your support. And I just want to say it's their 1 year anniversary of Tales from the Abyss. So congratulations. And I want to say thank you.
Yep.
And I want to say thank you, Pahu Rojo. He sent me a logo of a shirt of his new logo of his podcast. And I posted on social media. Yeah. So I want to say thanks. It looks sexy. So, yeah, I'll be modeling it pretty soon.
Perfect.
Who else do I got? Oh, we got my Lyrical Spit and Daily Spit podcast. You could get the show links along with the Murky Chronicles links at lyricalspit@gmail.com. No, lyricalspit.com. You could send your emails to lyricalspit@gmail.com. But we are on most of your major podcast platforms. Send your emails to the show at murkychronicles@gmail.com. You can call the 24-hour hotline at 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself on the show. Man, I got to put on some pants. I just put on that shirt in front of a mirror, and I look sexy, by the way.
What?
Tales from the Abyss shirt. Yep, I look sexy. But anyways, that's another story. I guess that's about it. Another thing. We're gonna leave you with the Ghost Gray Bat. This aired on the radio March 25, 1981, and the plot of the story is a young New York couple swapped homes with an Australian couple for a year so a college professor can finish his book in peace. The remote Austrian home. Did I say Australian? I meant Austrian home. Yeah. Austrian couple, an Austrian home holds a terrible secret and is haunted by a fearsome creature. So we're going to be playing that. You have anything else to add?
Nope, that's it.
Hey, Ken, you want me to send you a selfie of me in the shirt, pantsless?
I think you should just post it up on our Facebook page.
I think I'm going to right now. So,
all right.
Okay, we're gonna leave you. Before we leave you, you know what I got to say? Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. Hashtag save our children, because you got to save our children. And if she has an apple, she has a banana.
I don't know what that means.
I could explain it to you when I send you my selfie. We'll be right. We'll be right back with the Ghost Gray Bat right after this brief commercial break.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Ever read this sort of advertisement in the real estate section of the newspaper or their personal columns of a magazine? Young Austrian couple, no children, no pets, would like to exchange their gemütlich Alpine chalet for New York apartment 2 to 3 months. Please write, etc., etc., etc. If you had read that, would you be tempted to try it? Don't. It could work out nicely, but then again...
What is it?
I don't know, Moira. I think something flew into the room.
Something? What?
A bird. Like a huge gray owl.
We shouldn't have left the window open.
I'm glad we did. It flew right out. Again.
Our mystery drama was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Don Scardino and Jennifer Harmon. I'll be back shortly with Act One. The advertisement I began to read to you was the actual one that Alec and Maura Grant answered. Maura was interested because Alec was exhausted from overwork, and she felt he needed a long vacation. Alec, because they had recently been married, and so far had been denied a honeymoon. Outside of these two small concerns, they had nothing in the world to worry them. They were blissfully happy. The gods were good to them. How fortunate. Except it was Byron who said, "Whom the gods love, die young."
Professor Grant.
You don't have to be formal. It's just me.
Oh, who's me?
Your wife.
Oh, that's...
Darling, the most marvelous thing just happened. It came.
Well, that's nice. What came?
A letter from Frau Gottschalk in Austria. She's charming. There's a picture of her and her husband, and they look like dear people, and the house is a dream, and they want it. Well, they want to exchange. Only they don't own a car. But couldn't we just rent one there and...
Hey, honey, slow down, will you?
Oh, when are you coming home?
I'm just finishing up. I had to empty the drawers and get all this junk out of poor Murray's way.
Well, you're only going to be away from the university for a year. It's still your office.
Not while I'm on sabbatical leave. But it's all done. I should be home within the hour.
Oh, hurry, darling. I'm just bursting with all the news about Austria.
I'm Dr. Alec Grant, and my sabbatical leave began at the beginning of the summer. I hold a full chair in philosophy at Gotham University, and my intention was to spend my sabbatical year finishing a book. When Murray Sprague got in a bind and asked me to take over a summer course he was teaching in comparative theology, I would have turned him down, except that it was he who was covering my courses while I was on leave. It was a stroke of luck that I said I would. First, because during the course, I learned more than I wanted to know about demonology, but mainly because I met Moira and we got married.
There's only one hitch, Alec, provided you think the house sounds right.
Moira, it sounds too good to be true. I mean, right on its own lake, isolated, but only 10 miles by road from Winterspot, ski trails everywhere, and enough peace and quiet for me to finish my book. So, what's the hitch?
We won't be alone.
I knew it was too good to be true. What are we stuck with? An ancient dachshund?
Oh, no. Just a housekeeper. But we don't have to pay for her.
That's bad?
I think it's good.
What's she like?
She's sort of an old family retainer, but Gretel says she cooks like an angel and disappears right after dinner every night, and you never hear from her till you're ready for breakfast in the morning.
Gretel?
That's Frau Gottschalk's name. Her husband is Hans.
Oh.
Oh, isn't it too much? Hansel and Gretel in this divine gingerbread house waiting for us.
Plus a built-in witch.
Oh, now that's unfair to Frau Zauber. Gretel says she's a dear old thing and will take care of us like we were her own children.
Well, I don't need anyone to take care of me but you.
Oh, and you know how totally I want to possess you, surround you. Make you all my own.
Well, you don't have to try. You got me.
So we are off for the Austrian Tyrol?
Well, aren't there arrangements to be made? How do you know they'll like this old dump of ours? Mine.
That's all settled. I've described it and sent pictures.
When do they plan to arrive?
A week from Saturday, the morning of the day we leave.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a whole day to show them everything and help them get settled.
Well, I hope they don't miss their plane.
Oh, stop trying to put the hex on all this, Alex. Anyway, your child bride was smart enough to cover that.
Hmm? How?
Well, if by any chance things get crossed up and they don't arrive before we leave, Betty Sprague has the keys and she'll settle them in.
And they know about that?
Of course.
I mean, you've heard from them since you wrote them?
Natch, worrywart.
I don't mean to sound that way. It's just that Well, why didn't we just get them on the phone and work out all the last-minute details?
Well, that's the one thing I didn't mention. They don't have a phone.
They don't?
Well, who needs it? We can shut out the rest of the world. Oh, isn't it heaven?
Well, as long as I share it with you. The idea of being that isolated was heaven to me. I couldn't put my finger on what niggling little thought kept sputtering in my brain like a loose electrical connection. And in the face of Moira's enthusiasm and shining expectation of our projected trip, I didn't have the heart to allow anything to spoil it. I never dreamed my random hunch would turn out to be true.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Grant.
Is that the Gottschalks?
Shh. What? A cablegram from Frankfurt, Germany? Right. No, please, read it to me. If you got a pencil, darling.
Right here.
That's correct. Just read the message. Missed connections here. We arrive New York a day late. Sorry we will miss you, but please not to delay your departure. Frau Zauber expects you. We will contact your Mrs. Sprague, and all will be well. Auf Wiedersehen, Hans and Gretel Gottschalk. Yes, thank you, operator, I have it. No, a copy will not be necessary.
They missed the plane?
Or maybe you ought to take up fortune-telling.
I'm sorry, darling.
Oh, I didn't mean to bite at you. I'm just disappointed. I would have liked to have met them.
Well, do you want to cancel our flight? And...
Are you kidding? That's a special excursion deal that saves us a fortune. Besides, we have to pick up our car in Munich. We don't want anything to go wrong with that.
Okay. And we'll let Betty Sprague handle our German cousins.
Austrian.
Oh, my apologies to the Grand Duke or whoever.
I think it's the Chancellor. Anyway, we're going on a honeymoon in Austria, darling. And we're going to love every minute of it.
It's so easy to be prophetic in hindsight. But some chill tremor, even then, closed around my shoulders like a shawl. I shrugged it off because Moira was sizzling with delighted anticipation. The plane flight across the Atlantic was uneventful, except for Moira's constant happy chatter about the new life we were headed for. By the time we got to Munich, she had me decked out in rose-colored glasses, too. And all my doubts had evaporated. We picked up the car at Munich in the early morning, and by shortly after lunch, we found ourselves arriving at the end of our journey.
Oh, it's all so green and so beautiful. It's like driving on the floor of a still green lake.
It's breathtakingly lovely. An enchanted forest. Oh, but doesn't it ever end?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Up ahead. See?
Oh, that's the lake. And the trees are starting to thin.
Oh, there it is, Alec. Oh, it is a gingerbread cottage.
Well, it's a bit larger than a cottage, but it's a real Hansel and Gretel house, all right. With a witch waiting for us, broom in hand.
Oh, stop it, Alec. She looks like a dear little old lady.
Willkommen in Schlüsselhaus. Ich bin Frau Zauber.
Wir sind Herr und Frau Grant, aber wir haben keine deutsche Sprache.
Ach so, it is no matter. I have English pretty good. Have you come with a nice trip?
Oh, yes. The countryside is gorgeous.
Oh, from Munich? You are arriving?
Yes, we flew in this morning and drove straight here.
Oh, I have been waiting, though. With a broom, I sweep the doorstep again and again so you will see the house at its best. But you must be tired. Come and see, bitte. I show you your house of dreams.
We entered the chalet, our shadows streaming before us from the sun at our backs. Something revived that vague, uneasy feeling I had forgotten during our journey. But the tour of the house was too fascinating to allow me to dwell on it. I might never have thought of it again. If it hadn't been for what happened that night. What's this?
Alec!
Hey,
what is it, darling?
Nothing. We shouldn't have left the window so wide open. I think something flew in here.
Something? What?
Oh, a bird. A sort of gray owl. Don't worry. It flew right out again.
Where are you going?
I just want to have a look-see. Sounds like a storm brewing. I think I ought to close the windows.
Oh, yes. It's gotten cold. Oh, hurry back to bed. Come on, darling. Close them.
Huh? Oh, yes. Right. Oh, here I come.
Oh, you have cold feet.
Warm heart.
Oh, don't I know it. Oh, Alec, I love it here. The house is a dream, and I've never been so happy. I love you. Good night.
And I love you. Good night. She was back to sleep in a second, like a child. I wasn't so lucky. Was it only a wind-driven puff of gray cloud I had just seen crossing the moon? Or could it have been what it seemed to be? A monstrous ghost gray bat. I put it out of my mind. What nonsense. And then I remembered what it was I had forgotten when we entered this dream house. Three of us, the sun behind us, our shadows dancing before us. But it didn't seem to me there were three shadows, only two.
This doesn't appear the pleasant little story it started out to be, does it? Of course, Alec has been working very hard, and he seems prey to strange premonitions. Perhaps even delusions. Maybe with morning they will all have passed away. Except I wouldn't count on it. An ancient legend has it that those who became proficient in the black arts were chased by the devil himself through subterranean halls. If he caught only their shadow, they became first-rate magicians or witches, but lost their shadows forever. The question here, so far, is twofold. Is there a shadow missing at all? And if there is, whose is it? Maura? Frau Zauber? Or Alec himself? Well, it's the following day. Let's see if that question is resolved.
Would you like already some more coffee, Herr Grant?
No, thanks.
Frau Grant?
No. But it was wonderful, Frau Zauber. So was breakfast. And dinner last night was superb.
Danke schön. It makes me very happy you like it. So, I clear away everything.
Thank you so much, Frau Zauber, for making us feel so much at home.
Aber it is your home while you are here. I go make you a picnic lunch. Don't worry. The mist will burn off, and it will still be a beautiful day.
Oh, isn't she an angel?
Yes. What's this about a picnic lunch, Maura?
Well, it was Frau Zauber's idea. She thought we might like to spend the day exploring. She's told me about a wonderful spot which will give us a view of the whole lake. Oh, doesn't it sound like fun?
I don't know.
What's the matter, darling?
I was just wondering about the Gottschalks. I didn't realize how much I'd miss a phone. I would like to have run down to Wintersbad and given them a ring to see if everything was all right.
Darling, you're forgetting the time difference. It's still the middle of last night at home.
Oh, that's right.
Excuse me, please.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Frau Zauber.
You were talking. I didn't want to interrupt. I have here the picnic, all in the basket. You want it now?
Oh, well, not quite yet. I want to get dressed. I won't be long, Alec. Oh, Frau Zauberg, you're so kind. You're making us very happy.
But of course I must. You are very, I don't know how to say, precious to me.
Frau Zauberg, Do you have any bats around here?
Bat?
Fledermaus.
Oh, that's Fledermaus. Oh, no bats. Nothing like that in this place. Why do you ask?
Well, we were disturbed last night. We had the window wide open, and I woke up thinking a bird was in the room. When I went to close the window, I saw something like a great gray bat flying across the moon.
Oh, and the Liebchen? She saw this too?
Oh, no. Fortunately, Moira was asleep. I didn't tell her what I thought I saw. I didn't want to upset her.
Oh, very wise, mein Herr. This holiday means so much to her. You must not disturb her. Oh, yourself?
Here I am. Ready to go, Alec?
Ready, willing, and champing at the bit.
Then let's get the picnic started.
It was everything a picnic ought to be. We ate in a meadow floating above the Emerald Lake. The food was sublime, and walking home over the pine needles, we were both floating on a cloud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a day this has been.
I think you're a little high, my pet.
I am. On clear air and the scent of pine and the quiet. Oh, the lovely quiet.
And a bottle of sparkling Rhine wine.
I only finished it because you were being such a teetotaler.
It was making me sleepy. My arm was about her waist, her head on my shoulder. I was tired myself and full of sun and fresh pine-scented wind and peace as heavy as a drug. We floated down the hills back to the chalet to find Frau Sauber waiting for us, fussing over us like children.
Ah, you are both so tired. Oh, I am a foolish old woman to send you so far on your first day.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just... Oh, so sleepy. I've got to have a nap before dinner.
I go up right away and turn down the bed. You will join her also, Herr Glantz?
No, I'm not that sleepy. I'll see Moira upstairs. Perhaps you'll make a cup of coffee for me?
Yeah, but...
Oh, you don't have to come up, Alec.
Well, I want to see you tucked in. I'll be right down, Frau Sauber. Thanks for the coffee, Frau Sauber.
Max sneaked.
I needed it. Oh, I'm quite sleepy myself.
You should be resting with the little one.
Nope. This is a good chance to make a quick trip to town and make that phone call.
Why don't you wait till tomorrow?
It's only 10 miles, 15, 16 kilometers to Wintersbad. I'll be back within the hour.
Oh, I think maybe you should not drive. You look very tired.
I'd like to set my mind at rest. You just keep your eye on...
Oh, was it lost, mein Herr? Something wrong?
Oh, no, not a thing in the world. Just a flat tire. Wait a minute. Both front tires are flat. I'll be damned.
Oh, is it something bad?
It's not good, Frau Sauber. Until those tires are fixed. One I could handle, but two... Is there a mechanic near here?
In Wintersbad, yeah.
That's great. How do I get in touch with him without a phone?
Oh, Fritz comes with the milk. I could tell him to let the garage know.
When's that? Tomorrow morning?
Half nine. Tomorrow's Thursday. He'll be here again on Friday.
Oh, no.
Pardon. Not even Friday. It's All Saints Day. It's a holiday. It will not be until Saturday.
I guess that fixes that. Without wheels, I'll just have to use Shank's mirror.
Excuse me?
Walk.
Oh, 15 kilometers?
Well, not tonight, anyway. I guess my phone call to the Gottschalks can keep. Ooh. Maybe I'll join my wife in that nap.
But supper?
Why don't you leave us some sandwiches?
Yeah, I will make a try on some wine and the coffee all ready to brew. Will there be anything else?
No. If I want you, where will you be?
I sleep in the cellar. It would be too difficult for you to find me.
Well, it doesn't matter. We both probably will sleep until morning. I went to bed with the sun still high on the horizon, never having felt more tired in my life. Moira was dead to the world, and as soon as I pulled the covers over me, so was I.
No!
What is it? Moira, what is it?
Oh, I thought something was misbiting my neck.
What? Let me see.
No, it was just a dream. There's nothing there. Oh, Alec, I'm so tired. I've got to sleep. Just sleep. It's all right with you here. With you here.
She was asleep again. I turned the light on, but it didn't disturb her. I examined her carefully, and on the right side of her throat, just under the jawline, I saw two marks. Side by side, as though they might have been made by a hypodermic. In a sudden panic, I rolled out of bed and shut the windows fast. I came back to Moira. She was breathing as evenly as I was gasping with fright. I went through the house calling for Frau Sauber. I found the door to the cellar and went down into a rabbit warren of halls and compartments with the damp earth under them smelling of decay. All were closed, frozen shut with rusted locks, save one, which gave easily as I thrust against it. I stumbled through, clawing in the dark, down a long, twisting passage, dank and odorous, till suddenly instinct stopped me short. I took out my lighter, thumbing the wheel, and gasped at what the small flicker of its flame revealed. I was on the edge of a vast cave covered with bats. Bats everywhere, hanging upside down, gazing at me inscrutably, accusingly. The most horrible of all was a huge worm-gray one hanging by the hooks on its wing elbows, its unwinking upside-down eyes driving a dreadful hate through me like nails pinning me against the wall. Then as I raised my lighter, with a sudden powerful swing, it somersaulted upright, and spreading its enormous wings, it launched itself at me with a banshee wail. The next thing I remembered was waking out of utter blackness to find myself lying on the bed with Moira shaking me gently.
Alec? Alec?
What? Yes?
What are you doing lying outside the bedclothes?
I must have fallen asleep.
Without getting into bed?
Well, I was up because of whatever bit you. I wanted to close the windows and...
Bit me? What do you mean?
Well, don't you remember? You woke up suddenly, and you thought there was something in the room, and...
Alec, darling, I haven't been awake since I went to bed.
Oh, no, Moira. You... Well, just let me take a look at where...
Oh, what is it?
They're gone. The bite marks are gone.
Oh, Alec, my darling, what's wrong? There never were any bite marks. Nothing bit me. Oh, you must have had a bad dream.
Moira, let's get dressed and get out of this place. Now.
I can't leave now. I'm just beginning to relax. I have to sleep.
You can't, Moira. You've been asleep for over 14 hours. It's morning. The sun is up.
I must sleep.
Why? What is it, darling?
I have to be ready.
Ready for what?
Ready for the moment when... For the moment when...
Moira, you've got to wake up. Oh, heaven help me. What am I going to do? I've got to have a doctor. And I can't leave her alone.
Terrible dilemma for Alec. What strange sickness is drawing the life from his wife's body? He must find help for her. On the other hand, Stark and terrible is the memory of that awful cavern, peopled by the obscene and monstrous bats. Or were they only a figment of his imagination? Does he need a doctor as desperately as his wife? I shall return shortly with Act 3. If there's anything that makes my blood run cold, it's a bat. Oh, somewhere there may be a bat lovers society who wish to protect the dear little furry things with their two canine teeth as sharp as hypodermic needles. Not me, nor Alec Grant. But which was the greater danger? Mora's strange and unaccustomed lassitude, or those horrendous bats which might live only in his imagination? Only he could make the choice.
I listened to Moira's heart. It was steady, far steadier than my own. Her pulse was strong and normal. She breathed easily. But she was in a profound sleep that was dangerously close to coma. I had to get to a doctor.
Guten Morgen, Herr Grant. Did you sleep well?
No, I didn't, Frau Zauber.
Oh, but why?
I thought you told me there were no bats in this part of the country.
Yeah? Why do you think there are?
Because I believe one bit my wife last night.
Oh, poor Liebchen.
I came down to the cellar after my wife was bitten, looking for you. I called, but you didn't hear.
Oh, I am the very sound sleeper.
Yes, I couldn't find your room, but what I did find was one door that could be opened. What do you think I found behind that door, Frau Zauber?
Oh, I have the trouble with the English. I don't...
I found a long corridor, and at the end of it, a cave full of enormous bats. Bats, Frau Zauber.
Herr Grant, I think you are having a nightmare. But there's nothing like that in the cellar.
I tell you, I saw it.
Then come. You show me.
There it is. That's the door.
Oh, but that's the door to my room. No, I show you.
I couldn't believe my eyes. Beyond the door was not the twisting, shadowed corridor of the night, but a bright, neat bedroom. The walls covered with pictures, the bed neatly made and covered by a handmade counterpane. The furniture, a comfortable armchair, an inlaid chest of drawers, a huge and magnificent armoire.
Herr Grant, you look so shocked.
I am.
Oh, you should have a doctor.
You say there is one in Wintersbad?
Yeah, the Herr Dr. König. But how can you get to him?
Well, I can walk.
Oh, no, so far. 15 kilometers.
It should take me less than 3 hours.
I will not let you go.
Why not?
You trust the rheumatism in my old bones. We are to have a storm. When the snow comes, driving with the wind, you could lose your way.
I'll have to take my chances. With any luck, I'll get there before it breaks. The 5 kilometers to the main road were a nightmare, slipping, sliding stone under my feet. And above, the sky was becoming ominously black as the temperature dropped. As I reached the main road, I had a piece of luck. A farmer with a load of feed hay in a cart drawn by a small donkey was passing. Hey, I mean, Achtung, bitte.
Was willen Sie?
Do you speak English? Sprechen Sie Englisch?
Nein. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Oh, no. I want to go to Wintersbad.
Wintersbad, ja.
Ich gehen mit eins.
Im Wintersbad?
Ja.
Ja, kommen Sie.
Dankeschön. Ich möchte einen Doktor, Dr. König.
Oh ja, ja, Herr Dr. König. Zurück. Wir müssen gehen.
I climbed aboard among the sweet-smelling hay. I was shivering and glad to pull its warmth around me. The farmer let me off at the doctor's house. The doctor was out on a house call, but his wife let me in to wait for him. She was also kind enough to let me make a phone call on my credit card.
Hello?
Betty. Betty Sprague?
Alec?
Yes.
For heaven's sake, where are you? In Austria?
Yes.
Oh, isn't this lucky? I've been racking my brains trying to get in touch with you.
Oh, why?
Well, those people, your tenants, you know the Gottschalks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been on pins and needles, Alec. They haven't arrived yet. I don't mean to worry you, but...
Well, that's all right, Betty. Matter of fact, that's the reason I called. I had a hunch maybe they wouldn't.
Is something wrong, Alec? What can I do?
Nothing, Betty. I'll have to handle it from this end.
You don't sound like yourself. Are you sick?
I don't know.
Well, is Moira all right?
I have to hang up now, Betty. You'll be seeing us very soon. Tomorrow, if I can arrange it.
Alec, you're scaring me. What is it? What's wrong?
I was scaring myself because once again I was blacking out. That's the way the doctor found me when he returned, and I don't know what garbled story I blurted out. It was only after I found myself gulping some scalding black coffee that I gathered my wits enough to return to normal.
Very well. That is better. The eyes begin to focus now. You know me?
I
am Dr. Franz König. You are in my consulting room.
Have I told you why I am here?
Oh, you have told me a great deal. You came to me under the influence of drugs, Mr. Grant. Some form of hallucinogen plus deep sedation. And you have told me a most exceptional story.
My wife, Moira, you've got to come and see her, Doctor. I'm afraid.
Yeah, I too am afraid for her. That is why, if you feel well enough now, I suggest we get into my automobile and drive quickly before the storm breaks to bring your wife away from that evil house.
What do you mean?
I try to explain that to you as we drive.
You mean that Frau Sauber has been systematically drugging us?
If what you tell me about your wife is true, who else?
But why?
First of all, because she is not Frau Sauber.
Well, who is she then?
I cannot give you the whole answer to that. I can tell you that her real name is Gretel Gottschalk.
But her husband?
Hans has been dead for the last 20 years. I wrote his death certificate myself.
But the Gottschalks were young people, my age, younger.
Two generations ago, yeah. How old do you think Gretel is now?
Gretel? Oh, you mean the woman I know as Frau Sauber?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nearly 80, I would think.
You would be wrong. By the records of my grandfather, who was also a doctor, she was born in 1871.
109? But why would she pretend to be younger? Why all this masquerade about dragging us over here and pretending to exchange homes?
Because she does not want to die. Gretel, or the woman you call Frau Sauber, has been shunned for the last 20 years. People are afraid of her. They believe, at the very least, that she is a witch.
At the very least? What else? A vampire?
There is a legend here that witches possess human bodies. And having lived out the term of the human they invade, must find a new one to violate.
And she wants to invade my wife's body and steal it for her own.
I say the real danger is that she believes she can.
Then for pity's sake, let's get there.
I'm driving as fast as I can in this weather.
What is it?
The motor. I can't believe it.
We're not out of gas. We can't be. If we get stuck in this blizzard, we'll be buried in an hour.
I don't see how it is possible. But we are out of petrol.
Well, now what do we do?
No one will be traveling this road on a night like tonight. We must walk.
What, back to Wintersbach?
It's too far. If we are to save your wife, we go on to the Gottschalk house.
Wind is built up, driving the snow before it into our faces, blinding us. It was an endless journey to the chalet, and by the time we reached it, we were exhausted. Inside the house, there was light, but there was nothing else. No Frau Sauber, or whoever she was, but more important, no Moira. Moira! Moira!
Yeah, you wouldn't find her by calling for her. We must do the finding.
How?
We can start by looking for the witch. Where's her home? Have you the flashlight, Herr Grant?
It's almost burnt out. Wait a minute, there's a light. Here.
Yeah. As you described it, it's the night before you saw this door led to the tunnel. And the Cave of Bats?
Yes.
This armoire, right opposite the door. Let's see. Just a clothes closet. The back is solid. But wait. There is a mark on the floor. See?
From the casters on the legs. It must be hinged to swing open.
Yeah. There's a hinge on this side.
That means there must be some sort of a catch or a lock on my side. Yes, I have it.
It's opening.
And right behind it is the passage I went down that leads to... Wait. Listen.
So there are bats.
Yes. And that proves she's a witch.
And also you may be right. A vampire.
She's got Moira. Come on. I tore recklessly down the twisting, torturous passageway. The doctor followed more slowly. As I ran, I could hear words chanted in Frau Sauber's cracked old voice. Words that chilled my blood.
Oh, thou art my own king and emperor of the northern parts. I call Ingvor and exorcise thee to lend me all your awesome power. To enter this young nation, that I may live my new life cycle as a witch of the inner circle.
I had reached the entrance to the cavern. On a slab of stone, like a rough altar, Moira lay, unmoving. Behind her, a step higher, that ghost gray bat was poised, the words I had heard issuing from its mouth. And behind it, obscenely, a crucifix turned upside down.
I feel your presence. I feel your power.
What is it, Herr Kant?
A filthy pagan rite,
huh?
All the forces of evil and the legions of hell.
What do we do?
We call on him and ask him to lend us his strength.
In your name, I will be reborn. If I drink her blood, I will be done.
No! Stop!
You are to let her blood. She is mine! Mine for all days!
As she bared her fangs and bent to sink them in Moira's throat, I went berserk. Seizing the torch from the shaken doctor's hand, I shone it directly in her face. As she recoiled from the light, I lunged and drove the heavy oaken alpenstock with its steel tipped end through the loathsome furry body, driving it back to pin it to that obscene inverted crucifix. I took Moira up in my arms, rushing through the mist, gasping for breath, dodging flames which were beginning to sprout from the earth. I reached the safety of the passageway none too soon, for suddenly, behind us in the cave, the floor exploded with a roar of flame and hissing steam. Doctor, is Moira all right?
Yeah, she's fine. Oh, she was very heavily drugged, more so than you. But she is young and will take them off.
What happened last night, Doctor?
Herr Grant, this whole countryside around here sits on a subterranean lake of boiling sulfur springs. It happens now and then. There was an explosion. Too much pressure. It blew off like a volcano.
Did you see everything I saw?
Oh, the light was poor. My eyes are not what they were. The mist of steam created strange illusions. That cavern is gone forever. Buried under tons of earth and stone. You need fear nothing anymore. You are free of her forever.
There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, as Hamlet remarked to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Are there such things as witches and vampires? I can only answer with another quote. We are what we believe.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you for downloading and listening, and please spread the word. Subscribe and follow Murky Chronicles on Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and on most of your favorite podcast platforms. You can get all the show links at lyricalspit.com. Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at butcherspit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's butcherspit.com.